Welcome to this worship service at the Central Church of Christ in Johnson City, Tennessee. So glad you're here. Want to welcome visitors and glad that you're with us and invite you back at every opportunity. And also welcome you that are online. We're going to start our worship service today with a scripture in Galatians chapter 3, beginning with verse 24. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And now we'll proceed with the singing.
I love you, Lord. Song is Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. And in the songbook, it's number 202.
Joyful, joyful, we Thank you.
Fairest Lord Jesus. That's number 288.
Fairest Lord Jesus.
Opening prayer.
Almighty God, our loving Father in heaven, how great thou truly art. You created the world with just a word, and we enjoy it and live in it today. We're thankful that you're as merciful and gracious a God that you are, for we are most imperfect. We're thankful, as we spoke this morning, for your grace and your mercy, that when we stumble and fall, we know it's not the end. We know that we can be set aright and set back on the path toward righteousness. Father, we thank you for our family here this morning at Central. We're thankful for the encouragement and the strength that we derive one from another, from a handshake, a hug, a smile, a card, a word of encouragement. Father, may we continue to be a light in this area. We pray that you'll bless the efforts, the many efforts that we have in place today to be that light, to be that salt that you would have us to be. We ask your blessings on each one. Father, we're mindful of many in our family that have experienced loss in recent days and weeks, and we pray that you'll continue to bless them. Use us as vessels to reach out and encourage them in a time of great despair and loss. We're thankful for answered prayers. on behalf of many of the family here that have undergone procedures, that have been faced with trials, tribulations. We're thankful for answered prayers, and we pray that you'll continue to answer our prayers in the future as you have in the past, and help us to accept your will. Father, we pray that you'll be with the leadership of our congregation here, that they always use good, sound, biblical wisdom in guidance of this flock. We pray that each one of us will be good sheep, that we will follow that guidance. We pray that you'll be with Brother Tim this morning as he brings forth his lesson. May we listen with cultivated hearts, ready to receive that lesson, ready to receive that portion of your word, and that we be able to and ready to share that with those that we come in contact in a dark and lost world. We pray that you'll go with us as we continue through this service. May our hearts all be prepared, that we offer up that true and pleasant worship pleasing to you. We're thankful for your Son. We're thankful that you sent him to this world, that we might have a hope in the world beyond. We pray that you'll be with us throughout our service. We pray everything we say, everything we do is in accordance with thy will and brings glory and honor to you. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.
Next song will be number 387, Tell Me the Story of Jesus. And if you're using a book and like to mark the song after the lesson, be number 932, O Heart Bowed Down with Sorrow.
Tell me the story of Jesus. Thank you.
now's the time when the children should be taken to the children's training class. I'll be reading from Romans 15, chapters 1 through 4. Romans chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it was written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in the former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope.
How am I doing? Thanks for asking. I'm blessed. I am so blessed. I have good health, but more than that, I have forgiveness through Jesus Christ, my Lord. I have joy in my heart. I have peace in my heart. I have a family gathered here with me this morning to give praise and worship to God. I am so blessed, and I bet a lot of you can say the same things. It is such a blessing to be able to come together like this and know that we're among people that love the Lord and that will build us up and will ask about us, help us if we need help. That's God's family. And what a wonderful thing it is to be in God's family. Praise God for that and all that he has done for us and all that he will continue to do in the future as long as we are in his son, Jesus Christ. We're so glad you're with us this morning. We have a good number. Many of you were traveling last week, and it's about time you come back. So glad you're here. We also have visitors with us today. I have met some already that I had not met before. A couple from Brazil is with us today. A family from Chattanooga bringing their son up to ETSU, who's on the football team. And others, I'm sure I've not met all of our visitors today. So I'm going to have to ask all of you to help me out because I've got to leave quickly after I finish preaching today to get back up to the prison to speak there this afternoon. And so all of you, you're now deputized. You're now ambassadors. So welcome all the people around you that you see. Give them a smile. Give them a handshake. Welcome them. And let them know we are so glad that they are here. And we're glad that you're here as well, all of you members, all of you online. We're so glad that you are joining us as well and really appreciate your dropping in with us and worshiping virtually. I want to introduce our newest sister in Christ who is with us this morning. That is Patty Hartman. Patty was baptized last Monday. Stand for just a moment there, Patty. And she made the decision to confess her faith in Jesus as God's son and be baptized for the forgiveness of her sins. And we've been getting to know Patty the last few months. She's been worshiping with us along with her sister, Kathy Carver, who's been with us for quite some time. And Misty, of course, her niece, has been with us a long time. But we're glad that you're with us, Patty, and we're just so thankful that you're part of our family. And all of you, welcome her. Encourage her any way that you can. And so let's just keep this family growing and spreading the sunshine of God's love to everybody we know. Let me just say a word about last night. Last night, 10 of us from Central were at the prison to witness the graduation of 61 men who had completed 13 weeks of study in New Life Behavior courses. One of the classes was in Christians Against Substance Abuse. The other class was Attitudes and Behaviors. And what a delight that was. And I just want to tell you, the men send their thanks to all of you, all of the church here at Central, because they know this is a collaborative effort. They know that a lot of people put a lot of time into this effort, and they want to thank you for the love that you're showing them. 2 weeks ago, 28 men graduated at the annex at the prison, and there again, I'm sure it was the same thing. Tuesday, we've got some women at Unicoi County graduating from a class. Some of our ladies are doing a great job over there. The point is, these are people that are looking for good news. That's hard to find in our society, wouldn't you say? People that are looking for it. And yet, in prison, in jail, you find a lot of people like that. And they will thank you for taking time to come teach them the Word of God. So if you're interested in learning more about how you can get involved, let's talk. We need more people to help out. So let's get involved and do what we can to share God's Word. This evening, Lord willing, we'll meet again at 6 o'clock. Josh, I believe, is going to do the sermon. All right, Josh has got that covered. And I'm going to have to confess, I did not get the memo this morning because everybody that's been up here before me has a beard. I didn't bring my beard. So you'll have to do with a clean-shaven man. But let's get our Bibles out. Let's get into God's Word. There's always wonderful things in God's Word. And let's find out what the Lord has said to us. Now, first of all, let's imagine that a friend of ours is getting ready to leave on a long trip, a couple of weeks away, going to travel across the U.S. And as he's loading the car, we ask, are you sure your car is up to it? Have you... is it going to make this trip all right? He said, this is a wonderful car. I've had it 3 years now. I've not even had to change the oil. I've not had to have the brakes checked. This is a wonderful car. And at that moment, we begin sending up prayers for this man because this could be the trip where it happens. Because we all know, if you have a vehicle, you need to service that vehicle. It needs that routine maintenance, be it oil checks or checking the brake or the coolant level or the air pressure in tires. There's a lot of things you got to check in a car. Otherwise, that car may not get you to where you want to go. Now, I use that illustration because hope is a very important thing in the Christian life. Hope, as we're saying in 2025 on the first Sundays of the month, hope motivates. That hope motivates us to do what God calls us to do. But are we maintaining that hope? Are we servicing our hope? Because when hope is neglected, it may not motivate. In fact, it probably won't. And so this morning, I want us to all be honest with ourselves and say, have I taken my hope into heaven's garage? Have I had it checked out? And you may be wondering, how in the world do I do that? That's what we're going to talk about from God's Word. So what happens when hope doesn't motivate? Is that a problem with God's Word? Is that a problem with hope itself? No, the problem is ours. And it is something we can remedy. We can correct it. So let's get into the Word of God. Let's find out what God has said on this very important subject. First of all, let's talk about a key ingredient for hope that is often neglected. A key ingredient for hope that is often neglected. Go with me to Psalm 33, verse 17, first of all. Psalm 33, verse 17. And here's an interesting statement. It may not mean a lot to us because this is not how we do war in our world today, but it was very high tech back then. The writer says in Psalm 33, 17, the war horse is a false hope for salvation, and by its great might, it cannot rescue. The idea there is false hope. And the writer is saying, if you put your hope in this horse, I mean, it is a magnificent horse. It's the best horse on earth, maybe. It is really great in battle. It doesn't scare easily. It holds its ground. And yet, if you're putting your hope in a war horse for salvation, it is a false hope. You're not going to do well. And what's the meaning there? Your hope ought to be in the Lord. That's where hope ought to be. Israel did not learn that lesson well enough. Because on many occasions they went and tried to find good horses, even though God told them not to. They tried to think, well, how many men have we got? Do we have enough men to meet the army that we're going to fight? And that was not the critical factor. It was God. It's always been about God. And that's true for us as well. But again, it makes us wonder, do we have false hope? Maybe we have false hope about our hope. We think, well, I was given hope when I became a Christian, and I'll always have hope. Well, that's true to an extent. but there's maintenance that needs to be done. Let's look at that. Let's talk about an often neglected ingredient for hope. We're going to begin in Romans chapter 15. Romans 15, this is what Josh read for us earlier. But let's look at verse 4 for a moment. Romans 15 and verse 4, and the writer there says this. Paul said, whatever was written in former days, and he's talking there about the Old Testament primarily, that's what they had when he was writing part of the New Testament. What was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Do you see the connection there? Paul says God gave us the scriptures. In our day, it's more than the Old Testament. Now it's the New Testament. But God gave us these things that have been written. Why? For our instruction, for our learning. That doesn't just happen by sticking a Bible underneath a pillow when we sleep at night. It means we have to actually read it. We have to meditate on what we're reading. We have to join with others that are studying the Bible. And that's when we are instructed. And then as we consider God's word, we develop hope. And that's the ingredient, I think, that is often neglected. Now, let me take you to a couple of other passages to show that we do, as people, have that tendency to neglect. For example, Jesus in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 15. Matthew 13 and verse 15, he was asked the question, Lord, why do you teach in parables? And Jesus said, there's a lot of people that really aren't trying to learn. And so the truth is veiled. It can be understood by people that really give the effort. But for those that are just, nah, I don't know, give me a little something and I'll be on my way. No, they won't get it. And he says this in Matthew 13 and verse 15, this people's heart has grown dull. It wasn't always dull. There was a time it was very sharp, but this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear. In the King James Version, it says their ears have waxed gross. That's kind of a gross idea, but that's literally what it says in the Greek. I've got so much buildup in my ears, I can't hear what you're saying anymore. It's a condition we allow to develop. And Jesus went on and said, their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. Well, I guess God doesn't want to heal us, right? Oh, no, no. God gave us the word. He wants to heal us. But some of it depends on us and our desire to learn and to grow in our understanding of God's will. And Jesus said the way it is with a lot of people, their ears grow dull. Their hearts grow dull. They're not as sharp about learning as they once were. And think about this statement in Hebrews chapter 5. It's virtually the same idea. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. And here's what we find in that passage. About this, he was talking about Melchizedek. He said, about this, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become, notice it's not always been this way, but you have become dull of hearing. You've become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. That's not a compliment. That is a rebuke. He's saying you should have grown a lot more than where you are right now. And what's the problem? Your hearts have grown dull. You become dull of hearing. And again, that means somebody that at one time they were eager to learn. They read their Bible a lot. And yet over time, I've got other things. There's a lot of things in this world I'd rather pay attention to than the Word of God. Now let me ask you, a car that has not been serviced properly, can you depend on it? Well, for a while you can, but eventually it's going to break down. It's going to wear out much quicker than it is designed to do. We have to maintain it. And don't you think the same applies to our hope? If we want that hope to motivate us, to keep us pressing on, even though, you know, life is hard and it's really getting tiring, yet hope will keep us pressing on. But I think it is an observable fact that many don't attend to Bible study as they should. Now, we wouldn't think for a moment of neglecting the Lord's Supper. Oh, I need to be there for the Lord's Supper. But Bible study, I understand. Some people can't make it. I understand the physical limitations some face. But others of us, have our hearts grown dull? Do we no longer have that strong desire to learn what God's word is saying? Because as we found there in Romans 15 and verse 4, there is a connection between things that were written in former times instructing us and thus giving us hope. Now, to understand that, let me take you on this brief excursion through the scriptures to talk about how healthy hope will motivate Christian living. Now, what does that mean? You know, instruction in God's word, hope. How does that connect? Let me show you three different ways in which I'm confident, because the Bible says so, if you learn these things, you have stronger hope. If you don't learn these things, your hope is going to fade and eventually vanish. The first of those reasons is knowing that the Lord cares for us strengthens hope. Knowing that the Lord cares for us strengthens our hope. Let's go back to Romans 15 one more time. Romans 15. This time we're going to look at the surrounding verses and find out why the writer made that statement. Why did you say, Paul, that through instruction, through the encouragement of the scriptures, we'll get hope? Why did you say that? Well, look at verse 2. He said, let each of us please his neighbor for his good to build him up. That's not an easy command, is it? I mean, taking time to think about other people and what they need, what would be helpful to them. We're pretty much focused on ourselves if we're like the majority of people in this world. I need to do what I've got to do. But here the admonition is, think about others. Now, why should we do that? Look at verse 3. Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. So Paul is saying there, we learn through the Old Testament that Christ bore our reproaches. Do you think Christ wanted to do that? Was that something he was happy to do? No, we remember how he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, Lord, let this cup pass if there be any way. It was something he dreaded, but he did it, and the reproaches of us fell upon him. And then, that's where he says in verse 4, for whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Now, what did he just quoted there from the Old Testament? How the reproaches of Christ fell, or the reproaches of us fell on Christ. What does that say? It says that Christ loves us. Greater love has no man than this, that a man should die for his friends, Jesus said. And as we look at the example of Christ, as we think about what Christ did for us, wow, he cares about us. And if he cares about us, I want to listen to him a little better than I have been. If he's shown that kind of love, yeah, I'm going to try to follow him better than has been the case in the past. Think also about what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, again, thinking about how knowing that the Lord cares for us motivates or strengthens our hope. Matthew 10, beginning in verse 29, Jesus said, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. Even God pays attention to those sparrows. He knows when a sparrow has fallen to the ground. But he says in verse 30, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. And I think we could insert the word there, way. You are of way more value than many sparrows. But the lesson, again, is very simply, God cares for us. Jesus cares for us. But we're not going to learn those facts if we're not in the Bible. They may fade from our memory if we're not much into God's word. And yet, by coming together as a Bible class, or right now, what we're doing together now, it reminds us he really does care. I mean, God is not some distant God who says, oh, I guess I better check on my people. It's been a few hundred years. No, God checks on us continually. He cares about us always. We once sang a song by Horatius Bonar. We've not sung it in a long time and don't think it's even in our book now. But it's got these words, and just think about this for a minute. Yes, for me he careth with tender loving care. Yes, with me he shareth each burden and each fear. Yes, o'er me he watcheth, ceaseless watcheth night and day. Yes, in me he snatcheth from perils of the way. And that song was a way of reminding us, don't forget, God cares about you. God loves you. He gave his son to die for us. And when you really focus on that and meditate on that, it strengthens your hope. There is a great chance I can be saved because God wants me to be saved if I simply follow his will and do the best I can. But let's talk about a second thing that we can learn by thinking about the scriptures and how it builds hope. And that is that knowing that the Lord is active in our lives strengthens hope. The Lord is active in our lives. Now, what does that mean? I mean, do you realize that God is active in your life, or do you think that he is? And a lot of people say, well, I've never heard his voice. I've never seen him. How is he active in my life? Let me give you two of many scriptures you could find on this subject. We'll begin in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. And here Paul was trying to encourage the brethren at Corinth to participate in the collection that was being taken up for the saints in Judea. And he gives them this statement about, you know, is this going to make me so poor? If I give, I won't have enough left over to take care of my needs. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Now, how could God do those things if God's not active in my life? He wouldn't know what my needs are. He wouldn't know the good works that I'm hoping to do. That would not make sense at all. It all assumes that God is active in this world today, in my life, as I try to glorify him through Jesus Christ. And then let me show you another passage, one that we know so well, James 5 and verse 16. James chapter 5 and verse 16, how we rely on prayer. Especially when bad things are happening in our lives, we beseech one another, please pray for me, pray for my loved one, pray for this to happen or that. Why? Why pray? James tells us, James chapter 5, verse 16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. There's a connection there between praying and healing. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. And the assumption there, though it's not stated, is God hears that prayer and God responds to that prayer. That's why prayer has great power, is God is active. And if you don't believe God is active in your life, why pray? Is it just a desperation measure? Maybe this will help. I don't think it will, but I'll give it a shot. No, God is active. And when I'm convinced of that and become even more convinced by going to his word, because how many times do we read in the Bible? How many incidents are there where people are in great danger and they call out to God and God responds and helps them? He delivers them. That's still the case today. And if I really believe that, my hope is stronger. My hope is stronger than ever. But again, how am I going to know that? If I'm not reading the Bible, if I'm not studying the Bible, again, there is a connection between knowing God's word, continually growing in God's word, and strengthening our hope. And then number three, knowing that God is faithful to fulfill his promises strengthens hope. Knowing that God is faithful to fulfill his promises strengthens hope. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 8. Excuse me, 1 Kings chapter 8. We're going to look at verses 56 and 57. 1 Kings 8, 56 and 57. Here Solomon is offering a prayer to God. It is the dedication of the new temple that has been built. It was a fabulous structure, amazing in every way. David had planned much of it, and now his son Solomon has overseen the construction of it, and now it's being dedicated. And here's one of the things that Solomon says in his prayer, 1 Kings 8, 56 and 57. Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel according to all that he promised. Not one word has failed of all his good promise, which he spoke by Moses, his servant. And that simply says God is faithful. God gave all of these promises, and look, God has fulfilled it. Not one word of it has failed. And then he goes on to say in verse 57, the Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. May he not leave us or forsake us. Now in verse 57, he's talking in the future. 56 was past tense. This is what God has done. 57, now as we move on forward, may God continue to bless us. Why do you have that kind of hope? Because look at what he's done in the past. Look at how God has fulfilled his promises. He's been faithful. And that's, again, how we can reason as we see God's faithfulness. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. Wow, what an affirmation of faith this is. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 20. For all the promises of God find their yes in him. He's talking about in Christ. All the promises of God find their yes in him. What does that mean? It means that if we are in Christ, then all the promises God has made are yes to us. I mean, Lord, you promised a home in heaven forever. Really? Are you in Christ? Yes, I am. Then yes, that promise is for you. I am faithful to fulfill my promises. You promised to hear our prayers. You promised to make us strong in temptation and to make a way to escape any temptation. You've given us all these promises. Are you really going to do those things, Lord? Yes. You're in Christ. All the promises of God are yes in him. And so once again, faithfulness. God is somebody you can count on. And even when we suffer, go to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 19. 1 Peter 4 and verse 19. Here, Peter is talking to people that are being persecuted and are going to be even more persecuted for their faith as time goes on. And he says this in 1 Peter 4 verse 19, therefore let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful creator while doing good. Suffering is when we begin to doubt. Suffering makes us say, is God really there? Is God really got my back? Because look at these bad things that have come upon me. And then he says, you can take that to God as to a faithful creator. Yes. God is still there. Sometimes our faith is tested, and God knows how much we can endure, but at the right time, we're going to be delivered. He's going to come through. He always does. And so that's what he says, entrust your souls to a faithful creator. And once again, there's places in the Bible, dozens of places in the Bible, where you can see the faithfulness of God, but how are you going to know about those if you're not reading your Bible? Friends, do you get the point? Our faith is something we've got to have if we're going to make it through this life victoriously, but that faith has to be maintained. It has to be serviced on a regular basis. And a lot of that is reading and studying the Bible. And I would encourage you to get involved in all the Bible classes you can, because there you get even more out of the lesson, because others are sharing their insights and their questions that you may have. It is a wonderful thing to grow in our Bible studies together in Christ. I'm going to close with Psalm 145. Psalm 145, verses 3 and 4. Psalm 145, verses 3 and 4. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. You cannot reach the outer limits of God's greatness. And then he says in verse 4, one generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. One generation shall declare to another the mighty acts of God. That's why we have Bible classes here at Central. And thanks to all of you who have stepped forth to take on Bible classes here, all of you who have done it in the past, and others who may be thinking about it, because this is vital. This is how our young ones will learn about God. That's how they will learn about all these things that will give them hope. And that's what we're going to continue doing, declaring from one generation to the next the greatness of God. But again, if we neglect maintenance on our vehicle, and I suspect some of you are scheduling oil changes right now, but I'd rather you schedule your Bible study right now. Because getting on to where you're going on that trip doesn't matter nearly as much as getting to heaven. Are you a child of God? Are you in Christ? We urge you, obey the gospel. The gospel plan of salvation is so simple. We talk about it a lot because it's so important. You got to hear the word of God, and then you got to make a decision. Do I believe that really important claim that Jesus is the Son of God? More than just a great man of the past, he's the Son of God. Do I believe that? And if I can say yes, then am I willing to turn away from anything he tells me is a sin, meaning repent? Am I willing to confess him before others and confess? I believe in him as God's Son. And then am I willing to obey the command to be baptized for the forgiveness of my sins? Jesus himself said in Mark 16:16, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. Are you ready to commit to follow that command? And if you're here this morning and that's what you need to do, let's do it. Let's obey the gospel. And if as a child of God you've not been faithful, you've allowed other things to make you dull of hearing and you're not really that interested in Bible study anymore, I hope this is a wake-up alarm to you. I need to be interested in what God tells me through his word. And if I need to repent of that or anything else and ask for prayers, we urge you to come as we stand together and sing.
Oh, heart. seated, please.
Rita comes forward this morning to request the prayers of the church on behalf of a difficult situation. Some of you are familiar with the prayer request formerly in the daily focus. There's just a situation that's very complicated, and it's very ugly. And she would like the prayers of the church that we go on their behalf for this family, that the best possible outcome can persist, and we know that God knows what that best outcome is, and so we're gonna take it to Him, and I would encourage you throughout this week, if you would remember this family, we won't name them specifically, but remember them, this family, in your prayers that Rita's so concerned about, that the best possible outcome may come forward. Let's go to God on their behalf at this time. Dear Lord, Creator of the universe and Master of all things, we humble ourselves to you, and we come to you in prayer and give you situations that we know, Lord, that only you are prepared to handle, that only you can help with, that you can deal with, and that your will might be done as it is in all things. Lord, we pray for this family, and we pray for these difficulties, and we pray for this stress, and we pray for the hurt feelings and the anger and the insincerity and the lack of compassion and the things that are going on. Lord, you know all things. You know their hearts. We pray that you can affect the situation in a positive way that will conform to the best possible outcome for all involved, and that it will be in accordance with your will. But we pray that we can have compassion for all people here, Lord, not just Christians, but compassion for all, just like you do, Lord, that we can be more and more like Jesus each day, and that we can have this compassion and tenderheartedness like Rita does for this family, Lord. We pray that we can all be more like that each day in our daily walk. We pray that your will might be done in this situation, and that you can give Rita peace of mind that it's in your hands now, and that we can continue to pray for this family, and that they can have a beneficial outcome in the long run. It's through your Son's name, Jesus, that we pray these things. Amen.
How deep the Father's love. How deep the Father's love.
you don't have one of the communion packets, if you'll raise your hand, there's a couple men in the back who will bring you one. Reading out of Isaiah 53. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. We have come to the point in our worship where we are, where we get to gather and remember the death of Jesus and the prophecy of Isaiah here of what that looked like. Before we go to God in prayer and take the bread, I'd like us to take a moment to examine ourselves, to put ourselves in the right mindset to do this, to close off any other thoughts that may be trying to creep in from the world so that we can focus 100% of our heart and our energy on what we're about to do. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are privileged to be able to participate in this act of worship, to take this bread that represents the body that had stripes, the body that was bruised for our iniquities. Father, we are so sad that our sin caused Jesus to go to the cross, but we're so grateful that you allowed him to do that so that you could have a relationship with us. As we examine ourselves and take this bread, let us do so in a manner that is pleasing to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pray. Father, it's by those stripes, that blood poured out of, that we are healed. And we're so grateful that that happened. We're sorry that it did, but we're grateful that you were able to watch your son bleed and not intercede, because that's that blood that gives us life. It's that blood that washes those dirty sins away, those embarrassing things in our life that separated us from you are now gone, because of that precious blood. And as we partake this cup that remembers that blood, Father, help us to do so, examining ourselves and doing it in a manner that is pleasing unto you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we consider the offering, I want to read from 1 Chronicles 29. David is preparing items for the temple. Verse 14, David says this, "But who am I, and who are my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly at this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given. For we are aliens and pilgrims before you, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow and without hope. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have prepared to build you a house for your holy name is from your hand and is all your own. I know also, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. As for me and the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now with joy, I have seen your people who are present here to offer willingly to you." I love David's mindset. This was all God's. This was all these things that the people brought before to give, to help to build the temple. It was God's to begin with. And I love this line, and I hope that we can share in this sentiment. "Now with joy I've seen your people who are present here to offer willingly to you." We have that same opportunity, all the people, all of his people present here this morning, to offer willingly to God, by our financial means, through the baskets in the back, or maybe you give online or mail a check, however you decide to do that, but also with the understanding that every single thing in our life is God's, and how we use that, we will be taken account for at some point. So let's go to God in prayer as we pray for our offering this morning. Father in heaven, we love you. We are your people, and we are gathered here this morning to offer willingly to you. Father, as we take a portion of our income to give to the church and the work here, help us to do so knowing that you've given us all these things. Who are we, Father? Who are we in that we should be able to so offer so willingly to you, the giver of so many great things? And so as we give this small amount of our finances, Father, help us to remember that every single thing we have, we are stewards over, and one day we'll give an account for our time, for our ability, for the very breath that we take. Help us to use all of these things to your glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let us pray. Father God, we're so thankful for the great opportunities that we've had this morning to study thy word and listen to the plan of salvation. Thank you for Tim and bless him in every good way. Father, thank you so much for all your blessings. Bless us this day, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There's several announcements. Today, after services, there will be a meeting for any ladies who want to join Martha's helpers. The group will help with wedding showers, baby showers, and funeral needs. If you're interested, we will meet after morning services today. There'll be a wedding share for Hunter Smith and Lydia Bradley on June the 1st, well, that's today, from 4 to 5:30 p.m. here at the building. They're registered at Knot.com, Amazon, and Pampered Chef. Helpers are needed for our Living Bible School VBS, Walking with the Prophets. Adult and teenage volunteers are needed to help make this Bible school special. VBS will take place on the evenings of Sunday, June 22nd through Wednesday, June 25th. please see the available sign up in the foyer and see Josh Johnson if you have any questions. A training class for using New Life Behavior curriculum in our prison jail outreach will be offered on Tuesday, June 3rd from 5 to 7 p.m. This curriculum teaches life skills, addiction, recovery, anger management, and so forth, using the Bible, and is very popular at Northeast Correction Complex, Washington County Detention Center, and Unicorn County Jail for women. If you're interested in getting involved, please see the sign-up sheet and the announcements board in the lobby, or speak to Catherine Albertson or Marshall Danby for information. Thank you for those who volunteered to bring pasta salad for the June 6th seminar at Mountain City Prison. We have all we need. Thank you. Remember these in prayer. Charlene B. returned home Saturday evening after undergoing heart valve surgery last week at Emory Hospital in Atlanta. The group went well, the surgery went well, and her doctors will be studying her lab works to make further adjustments in her medications. Charlene and John send their thanks for all the prayers that have been offered. The family and friends of Andy Russell are mourning his passing on Friday in Lawrenceburg, Tennessee. Andy was the cousin of Dennis Russell and have battled several health issues over the past several years. Dennis reports that he has worshiped with us online in the past couple of years. Teenagers from around the area will gather this afternoon in Duffield, Virginia for Teen Week as High Rock Bible Camp. Preteen Week will be next week. Say a prayer that teens and adults will be kept safe and healthy, that souls will be reached, each one will be well fed. Christine's sister Janice is in the hospital in Pineville, Oregon with pneumonia. Her husband Keith is at the same hospital in ICU, and he is not expected to live much longer. They have him on hospice and request our prayers. Any other dishes? We're dismissed.